you said somewhere in the book, which is great, is it started as a fight for equality. What we ended with was sameness.
Yes. Yeah. 60 years later, that, you know, the goal of the equality movement was equality. We didn't get it. We got sameness. We just blended ourselves together. All amorphous and, you know, all...
androgynous almost.
Androgynous. Yes. We have a lot of sex. We watch a lot of porn, but we have no intimacy. Right? It's easy to do that. We all blend to get together. The men are more like women, the women are more like men, and it's a failing.
Yeah.
It's a failing. Absolutely failed. Polarity is what we're starting from, what we're missing.
When I think about this, as we've said before, this ends up being a spiritual journey for men.
Yeah.
That we're talking about with women. And it's like, this is our movement from here to here, but the original impulse is that desire and love for women.
Yeah.
That erotic drive, they call it eros, right? The drive that,
that
makes the universe spin and evolve all the time. It's that love for women that kicks it off. The frustrations along the way of not having women and having women and losing women and having women and marrying women and having it crumble and all the way to the end of this journey where, don't know if there's an end to this journey, but all the way along, it's, again, it's for women. It's for us at the same time, but there's this beautiful collateral effect, which is as I go on this spiritual journey as a man, I want to positively leave beautiful seeds of beauty in the land of women around me as well. So it's not like we're going to all grab our tribe and go to the jungle for three weeks and bang on our drums and then come back and be more empowered as men. It's completely in tandem and harmony with, inspired by the feminine, for the feminine, and feeding this resurgence of the masculine as well.
Yeah, I have a sentence here, you know, where it talks about the motivation, why all this, helping women by helping men. It's exactly, that's how it feels like to me. It's kind of like I want to give back to women for what they've done for me. You know, I want to say to women who I meet all the time, who are like, have given up on the dating world, or given up on finding a good guy. There's nice guys everywhere. But to find a good guy, and it's just kind of like they have the spirit, maybe it's, I'm getting older and I want to have some kids, but I can't find a good guy. To have a conversation with them that there are some sincere, really good guys out there.
Yeah.
And they're getting better. They're getting better because they're having a different conversation than we've had in the past. So to let women know, have hope. Because I do. We're having strong conversations with men. This conversation here alone.
Yeah.
Any woman would love to meet you guys because you're sitting in this kind of a interesting conversation. We're not sitting here like swilling our beer and talking about cars.
Yeah.
And that's as deep as we go. You know?
Mm.
Probably we're talking about something different, which is interesting and interesting to the mind of women for sure.
You talked a bit about scoundrel energy a moment ago. And on the next page here, you said we've lost the masculine wisdom of ancient and forgotten times.
Yes.
And I wonder if that's the same or different, the scoundrel and this ancient forgotten wisdom.
It's the same thing. Yeah. We've lost something in our modern era. I really do. I opened the book with that saying that, you know, what is it we're missing? We're missing beauty. We're missing beauty of the masculine spirit too. It's a beautiful thing. Our sexual nature is divinely appointed. It's a gift from God, and we squander our gifts. We hide it. No, that's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's who we are.
We squander it into a Kleenex every second night.
Yeah. We watch porn.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many guys say, I'm addicted to porn. I'm watching porn constantly. Never going to go out there and connect with a real woman.
Which is ironic because a lot of people come from religious backgrounds. They think that's anti-sex or emasculating. In the Bible, the whole book, the Song of Solomon, it's almost like your book. He waxes lyrical, beautiful women. He's giving them lavish compliments, highly sexual, to the point where the translator's going, I can't even translate that. That's so graphic.
Your breasts are like hills.
Yeah. So there's no shame in that.
No. No. It's only us in our modern, you know, inherited in the West anyway, puritanical inheritance.
Yeah.
And that we can't get out of our Victorian principles. We can't get out of our system.
Mm.
We can't get it out of our system.
I love this. He wanted adventure and he got 2 weeks vacation.
Yeah.
He wanted a mission and he got a lawn that needs mowing.
Wow.
He wanted a purpose and he got a cubicle.
Mm.
He wanted a castle and he got a mortgage. He wanted a battle to fight and he got televised sports. It's incredible. He wanted every part of his life to be wonderful, and here he is, standing on a balcony in bleak, ruminating hesitation.
Wow.
Yeah. I still want to hear more about, okay, so if he hasn't, you know, you've talked about the purpose and the mission and the mighty steed and the treasure, like the glorious things that man.
Well, you know what? It's because, you know, it's this conversation of, you know, what do we want? What do men want?
Mm.
And I say that we want the same thing we've wanted ever since we were little boys. To be able to know that we have what it takes. That we can show up into a room and represent ourselves. That we can hold our own in a situation. You know, and it's like, we wanted to know that when we were boys.
Mm.
That we could ride a bike and go over that jump. We could do that. And we have what it takes. There's a reason that, you know, and there's a lot of criticism from different quarters of a guy that will spend $2,000 for a weekend seminar or course on how to talk about girls and how to, you know, this, right? There's tons of those things all over the world.
Mm.
And there's criticism. Come on, man. They're just paying $2,000 to get in women's panties, to find secrets and techniques to get in women's pants, right? But for $2,000, you could buy a lot of sex.
Yeah.
And the guy who's paying the $2,000 thinks, that's what I want. I want to be able to go into a nightclub, pick up a chick, take her home. I'm going to pay $2,000 for that knowledge.
Mm.
You could go buy sex for $2,000 if it's really just the sex that guy wants.
Mm.
He might not even know what he wants. But what he's really trying to buy is the quiet knowledge that he has what it takes. He's trying to buy that spirit of, I'm going to take this, and then I will know that if I go into a club or I go into someplace or I meet a girl, I can confidently represent myself.
Mm.
You see? It's not a bad thing that he's trying to buy. There's a lot of criticism about it, but he's really, it's a sincere effort to try and say, I didn't get taught by my father.
Mm.
My father wasn't there. I didn't see this in my role models. I had no role models. Used to be cowboys and firemen and stuff. Now the role models are 17 and 18 year old rappers who have no clue either, who think masculine edge is bling.
Yeah.
That's who we look up to. I want to be like that guy. I want to be like him.
So our quest for do we have what it takes leads us to seek our validation from women and our careers. It makes us think we have to have this car, this amount of money, and really what it is an inner thing we're missing from our cultures. We don't have that moment where that comfort in yourself, where you say, I'm secure now, I'm a man, and I know what I'm standing for on this earth. And you're finding it in other ways to yourself, not in yourself.
Yes, and it's not as strong as saying, I know what I want in this earth, because we might not know.
Right.
Because it might be 21 years old, trying to sort of, you know, and like, my dad wants me to be a dentist, but I would like to go live in Brazil.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not knowing with a confidence your entire path. But it's sitting in that question and saying,
right,
I don't know exactly what my purpose in life is, but I'm devoted to finding out.
Mm.
I'm devoted to like stepping forward in every day and saying, I want to know that, as opposed to just going through the motions and becoming a dentist because my dad wants me to be a dentist. So it is the strength of that conviction of being an eternal student of ourselves, which gives you that sense that no matter what, I have what it takes because I'm learning my lessons.
So
I'm doing what I'm trying to move forward.
So it's a cliche, but there's some truth to it. It seems like you're saying being a man is more about the journey than the destination.
Yes. Yes. As soon as somebody says, I want something different, and I'm going to make the strides to find this something different, I'm going to step forth in faith and trust the process. And I am scared and I am nervous and I don't have a plan and I don't have it figured out, but I can't stay in this mediocrity anymore.
Mm.
I've got to venture forth over the hills, beyond the hills.
Mm.
And it's scary. The moment that guy has that in his soul and he makes that decision, boom, women look at him differently. The center of gravity shifts down into his body as opposed to into his head. And the resolution kicks in.
So we're coming onto this theme of adventure.
Yeah, and that's coming up though in the other chapters, right?
It's coming up here as well. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. I want to, like, just hearing that actually kind of makes sense why there was a women's movement and not a men's movement. In this sense, like, could be missing a lot of perspectives here. But, so there's something very communal about women coming together to fight for something which is their equality.
Mm.
And yet, the kind of men's movement you're talking about is that every man has to come to a point in his life where he leaves the nest, leaves the comfort of the home, and goes off alone into the mountain to have his own fight. So the man's rite of passage, I mean, there's a lot of examples of rites of passage around the world, but the kind you're suggesting is to go off alone.
Yeah.
For a man to know that he's got what it takes, there's something of independence and something of agency in that. And it's like, well, as soon as, I mean, it wasn't very much of a rite of passage to take 8 of my best friends and go to Tenerife for a week and the islands of Spain and drink beer.
Yeah.
Didn't really grow as a man. I didn't learn. If I learned that I had what it takes to not, like, to make it home from the club at 8 o'clock in the morning and not fall asleep on the beach, right? That's kind of what I learned. So there's something, at least in the way that you write about it, which seems that the man's movement is actually, it's got to be a group of individuals, because the man's way of knowing that he's got what it takes, it's not like I've got what it takes to show up with my buddies and then meet a girl. No, it's I want to know as a man that I've got what it takes to be completely alone anywhere in the world, in any kind of situation, and still be able to survive and make an impression and represent myself. It's not dependent on anybody anymore.
I'd
just like to share my experience of travel. That's exactly what I do. I go out all over the world and I'll run into a bunch of Australians, for example, and I'll steer clear of them because they do exactly that. They fall asleep on the beach at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
It's a step towards mediocrity going in and being with those people.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be exactly like they are there as they are at home.
This is what you said about Tenerife,
And you'll immediately go back into the old way of being. It's kind of like it's how you're expected to be.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about this as well, because this comes back in a way to the marketing. Like the whole alcohol example. I remember I was traveling recently, and there was some Australian 18-year-old boy going, "Give me a pipe," going, "You've got to drink this." I'm looking at him going, "No, I don't. I do what I want."
Yeah.
But 5 years ago, I'd been peer pressured into it.
Right.
So there's this whole thing as boys, we think to be a man, we have these wrong concepts. To be a man, we have to be good at drinking or have this car or have the hot bikini women. But the ways, the kind of the boyish things we have.
Yeah.
But you're saying the authentic man has a different goal and it's not these superficial things.
Exactly. And I talk about in this chapter about that we used to have rites of passage, touched on Jordan, and rituals. Once upon a time, we had rituals. And we had, certainly in all cultures, we had rites of passage from boys to men.
Mm.
I talk about in there how the concept of the teenager, before World War II, the word didn't even exist. Before World War II, there's no such thing as a teenager in the consciousness of the mind or of cultures. It was a boy, and then you're a man. And usually, primarily, because of a rite of passage.
Mm.
And we don't have it nowadays. That's why I say to women, we were little boys then, and you're dating little boys now still, but they're not having any fun anymore. We used to have fun when we were boys, at least.
Mm.
Play our PlayStation. Now we're still playing PlayStation, but we're not enjoying our lives. We're not having fun. We just had a girlfriend. We're still doing the same thing. We don't have that passage. We have this extended childhood called teenagerism, right? And that's an invented marketing thingy to get another demographic to market to. Didn't exist. Not even the word in English did not exist before
World War II.
Didn't exist at all. So it's an artificial, apologetic way of moving through life that we don't have to grow up. We don't have to. And yet we get to drinking age or before that, and we start pounding back the beers.
Yeah.
We buy the cars. We lift a lot of weights and that.
Yeah.
But there's no strength in men, no masculinity in men. That's why there's a cry for this kind of a movement, so that we can have a quiet storm of confidence in us again.
It's all surface things.
Surface
things,
yeah.
That storm of confidence.
And we still don't feel like we're good enough, no matter what we have.
There's a phrase you say, climb a mountain and never tell anyone.
Mm. Yeah, never tell a soul. Guys say to me, what can I do? You know what? You're in small town Iowa. You say you want to have a girlfriend. There's no girls there, right? So examine your priorities. I said it in one of the first episodes, because it comes up later in the book, every great life has had in it a great renunciation. There's no other way. We say we want big transformation, but we don't, because we'd rather have this comfort that we're hanging on to. So this whole concept is, yeah, how can I live a life that has relevance and meaning? Go climb a mountain and don't tell a soul that you did it. What a thing to do. That's, go do a vision quest. Go find out what you're made of. Scare yourself a little bit.
Actually have a good friend, like you were saying, very strong man, inspirational man, actually could have played in the NFL, came a guy and turned down two NFL teams because he wanted to do something higher. And he recently quit from Facebook because he hated the fact he was doing things like traveling and taking pictures to impress other people. He was climbing the mountain and showing other people. And he got to the point he had to disconnect from that whole attitude because he was becoming too surface. He's having all these videos of him and the beautiful girls and playing American football. And he went, renounced that whole thing, because he said it's got to be authentic for me. And he climbed his mountain and doesn't tell any people now.
Interesting, huh? It's you know, few will answer the call. It's the way it is.
I like the parable that you made up.
the ancient long beloved parable that I just made up.
That's a great one. It's like the whole concept is told in that story.
Yes.
So the guy, boy,
yeah,
in love with a girl, but never knew where it was going or how to change things, and was always in that nice guy box, gets the advice one day of going out and climbing his mountain and never telling anyone. Actually, no, he's going to go and buy her an exquisite pearl, right?
Oh,
he's
yes,
going
yes,
to get
yeah,
her
yeah.
an incredible gift. But he actually discovers that to get this gift, he basically has to climb this mountain. Mm. And he goes there and he sees the sea. And after having this epic adventure, when he comes back, he sees her again and realizes, actually, I don't really care about this girl that much anymore. Something shifted in him on the adventure.
The object of beauty shifted.
So, yeah, that's what I want to hear. Like, has that been an experience for you? Was there that kind of travel or rite of passage?
Yes, but like I said, since my learning has been at the feet of women, mine's been a long, drawn-out rite of passage. 30 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't go I didn't have it when I was young.
Mm.
I didn't have a passage, and I was this insecure guy who was trying to be a man, and I didn't know how to do it. And that parable I wrote a long time ago, very early in this book, I wrote that parable as a kind of a, seemed to ring true for my experience, my journey, you know? But that makes it look like it's a singular moment when he realizes, boing, wait a minute. But no, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that, where you're fighting so hard to win a girl. Yeah, it's kind of like that when you do get her, you realize, huh?
Mm.
I realize in all my striving to figure this out, I learned something. That was the purpose of the journey. The journey was the purpose. That's an interesting thing. It rang true to me. I wrote that years ago. Probably like 9 years ago. Maybe more than that.
So it sounded like you had that experience where you strove and strove and strove to get with a particular girl. And then when you did,
I had this girl
like,
one time that I was so in love with. And I thought she was in love with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were with each other. And I thought, this girl's out of my league. And how is this possible? And I was so, like, pinching myself. And I remember my brother and others would say, when she's around, she's not nice to people. But I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
This girl was perfect. She was, like, you know, like, perfect. I didn't see it. And she's perfect body and, like, all the nice face and stuff like that. And she was kind of... I didn't see it at the time because I put this entire blossom on her that was like, she was a perfect girl.
Mm.
And I didn't want to lose her. I was so afraid of losing her. And for some reason, there was something, her father just controlled her life in some way. And he said, I don't want you to see this guy anymore. Yeah, here's a story I don't think I've ever told anybody.